Hey everybody, it's Rick. I just want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. This week we're going to finish up Philippians. You know, we've spent the last several weeks talking about chapter 1. And we're going to finish chapter 1 and then we'll take a break and, you know, do some other stuff. And then we'll come back to chapter 2 after we've had a little break from it. And so today we're going to do Philippians chapter 1 verses 27 to 30. And, you know, it's really about Christian behavior, I think. You know, what does that look like? And so I'm going to start telling a little bit, you know, story, I guess, where, you know, when we took our two kids to college, the two youngest, we dropped them off at college. And when you drop them off, you go through a lot of emotions. You know, we were taking them to the dorm, and even though the dorm was only 30 minutes away from our house, it's still, you know, it's still different. And on the outside, I'm proud and really ecstatic that they're kind of out of the house. But, you know, part of that is fear as well, right? I mean, we'd finally got a chance that Linda and I are going to be together without the kids running around. And let's face it, once they're in high school, they really leave you alone anyways. You're not attached to the hip with them. And if you are, you shouldn't be, right? You should stop that. But on the inside, I was a nervous wreck, you know, if I'm being honest. There were so many things I wanted to say to them, so much wisdom that I wanted to give them before we drove away. But the problem is, at this point in their life, you really should have already built the foundations. And the only thing you should have to say to them is to never forget who you are. Never forget where you come from. If you've done your job as a parent, there's nothing more that you can say except never forget who you are. And really, I think that's the basis for what Paul is telling us in these last verses of the first chapter. It's what he's telling the Christians in Philippi, and through them, he's telling us, you know, whatever happens, be worthy. You know, Paul is saying, in the way you act, be worthy. Never forget who you are. So I'm going to read these last four verses of chapter 1, which are Philippians 1, 27 through 30. It says, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith and for the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now I hear that I still have. And so if we, you know, if we try to unpack this a little bit, you know, the primary characteristics of Christian behavior is that we are consistent with the teachings of Christ, right? And so when he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves, right? That word conduct in verse 27, the Greek, which I'm probably going to destroy, but the Greek for conduct is politumai, which means to fulfill one's duty, to conduct oneself or to lead one's life. So in this verse, Paul is picking up where he left off when he talked about duty or desire. He's saying, you know, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, right? To fulfill one, it's your duty to conduct yourself in the manner worthy, right? You should lead your life in a manner worthy of the gospel. That's what that means. So Paul, he expected that Christians would conduct themselves according to certain standards, right? Standards of integrity that were worthy of the gospel. And as Christians, we belong to the kingdom of God. And because of this, our lives should be consistent with the principles in which the kingdom of God is founded. It's the gospel of Christ. Our behavior must be consistent. And Paul is telling us, he's telling us, stand firm. The question here is, how do we stand firm? Right? He says, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. So How are we going to be that constant, consistent in our behavior as Christians? You know, to start with, to be constant, right? To be constant and consistent as a Christian, it demands unity. You know, people of one spirit, one mind, growing together for the faith through the gospel. You know, that the best sports teams in the world are the ones who are united. They're the ones who stand firm together for a common goal. You know, you can look at it through history. You can look at the Bulls, you know, when Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen played. You know, Phil Jackson said, here's the common goal. We're going to stand firm in how we do it. And they all did their job. They were all consistent. They were unified. One team. Then in verse 28, you know, Paul adds that courage is required, right? He says, without being frightened in any way. Without being frightened, that means courage. You got to have courage. If we're told not to be afraid, then we can only show courage in the face of suffering. We can only show courage in the face of persecution. Now look, I know today that persecution and suffering, they have a different meaning than they did in the times of Christ and Paul. But there's still suffering. There's still persecution. And look, for people who don't live in the United States, there is great persecution and great suffering for being a Christian. You know, the more courage that we can show as Christians, the more the enemy is going to try and trip us up. The more the enemy is going to try and derail our mission. But when we're afraid, when we're quiet, and we're hiding, the enemy's already won the battle. He doesn't have to do anything. He can go on to the next person. But we can choose to have courage, and we can choose to fight against the lies of the enemy. You need to figure out how the enemy's going to attack you and be ready. You know, the enemy attacks me through fear and, you know, feeling that I'm inadequate. For a long time, I ran away. I didn't do this podcast because I was afraid. What if I say something wrong? And look, if you've listened to several of them, I guarantee you're going to find things I've said wrong. You're going to hear me cough. You're going to hear me, you know, shuffle a paper. You're going to hear long pauses. It's okay. It's not going to be perfect. But I'm still going to do it. And I hope you're okay with that. Because I got to have that courage to fight against the lies that the enemy tells me. He tells me I'm not good enough. He tells me I shouldn't be doing this. And then we finish the first chapter of Philippians with Paul teaching us that suffering would not come as a surprise, right? He doesn't want you to be surprised when you suffer, right? He's given us a reminder. And both believing in Christ and suffering for him is something that's going to occur, right? Suffering for Christ is not an accident. But we also have to realize it's not a punishment. You know, look at Paul's life. Paul referred to a kind of suffering that was really more than anything a sign of God's favor, right? Believing in Christ and suffering for him are both associated with God's grace. And Paul and the church in Philippi shared this similar struggle, right? So Paul's encouraging them that just like, you know, they encouraged him. So, you know, they wanted to know how he's doing in Rome, and he told them so they could also be encouraged as they face their own problems. You know, nowhere does Paul say that living a Christian life would be easy. But he did believe that the outcome would be greater than we could ever imagine. You know, as we finish Philippians chapter 1, I do want to recap for a minute, right? We started this with Paul being joyful and praying for the church in Philippi. And he shows us that even with great struggle and while he was in prison, he had joy. He gives us an example, really, of how we should be joyful, pray, and love each other. And then, you know, after being joyful and teaching us how to pray and have love, he shows us that even bad situations can have something good come out of them, right? He tells us how the entire palace guard understood he was in chains for Christ and they were all confident in the Lord. You see, after we learn to change our perspective, he then shows us his desires and duties must stay strong and he must remain in the body. Right? That his duty is to be here, even though he desires to be with the Lord. Paul's life shows us that you don't have to be some perfect follower of Christ, never doing anything wrong, right? It's not realistic. His life shows us that everyone can be saved. And the only thing we have to do is commit to following Christ. Commit to living every day trying to be a better person than yesterday. You have and will hear me say throughout these podcasts things about social media, that social media is a problem. You're going to continue to hear it. And while social media can be an amazing avenue to minister to people, an amazing place to love people, to share our lives, it can also be that one thing that the enemy uses to keep you down. Remember, I asked, what does the enemy use against you? And I told you mine is fear and doubt, but yours could be social media. When everything else in your life is amazing, the enemy needs a tool to try and divide us. The enemy needs a tool to push hate instead of love. And social media, in a lot of instances, is that tool. You know, when I look at Facebook, I see a lot of Christians talk about politics, you know, which is fine. Everyone has their right. Everyone has a right to vote how they choose. I'm a huge supporter of the Constitution. I'm a huge advocate for my rights. But here's my question. What would Jesus say about your hatred to someone trying to take those rights away? Would he tell you to make sure everyone knows you hate what they're doing? Would he tell you to make sure you stand up for everything you believe in, regardless of how you make Christ look? And yeah, I mean how it makes Christ look. During the ministry of Jesus and all of the disciples, throughout no place was there a constitution or a Second Amendment right. On the cross, Jesus said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they do. He asked his Father to forgive the people that were killing him. Sometimes I feel like Christians in America are more worried about losing some right that they have that was given to them by man than they are about loving everybody like God said. I have had fellow Christians tell me that they are going to say and do what they want because it's their right, because they hate whoever's in what office. Is that what Jesus would do? Look, you don't have to agree with what I say, but I'm going to tell you to read Scripture. I'm going to tell you to pray and love people the way Christ loved them. You don't have to agree with them. Lord knows I don't. But I do love them. And that's what I'm asking you to do. What is your Christian behavior going to be? Look, I thank you for listening. I know there's tons of podcasts out there. You can listen to any of them. I hope you like this one. I hope it touches you. I hope it means something to you. I hope it means something to you like it means to me. And if it does, I ask that you subscribe. Subscribe on whatever your podcast platform of choice is. And then, you know, we'll see where this journey takes us. Again, I just love and respect everybody, and I just wish you the many blessings for this next week. Thank you.